Where are you, men of courage? Today we're talking about Bible stories around courage. And I have a stat for you. So if you've moved on, you're going to miss it. So buckle up. 9% of all people have at least one extreme phobia.
I'd love to know what that encompasses, because I mean, over the years, I have realized there's a phobia pretty much for everything. Between, you know, I'm terrified of large bodies of water, don't like the fact that there's, you know, big fishes out there that want to eat me. I've heard of phobias around like porous objects, which is interesting, like very porous objects. But it's interesting that something is, when I talk to people who have those kind of phobias, even to them, they understand that it's like, I know this is insane. I know it's weird that I'm terrified of ladders. You know, it's totally irrational, but to them, it's so very real.
I know it's irrational, but that ladder is going to kill me one day. I just know it.
He's coming for me in my sleep.
So the pain points are, do you find that you lack courage, right? William Shakespeare has a great, Billy is like to call him.
Right.
Billy. Because a coward dies 1,000 deaths before his death, but the valiant taste death but once.
I mean, I think that plays really into like the idea of worry, right? Like when we worry about all these like possible things that could go wrong, where you think through all these scenarios where it can deviate, you know, you're putting yourself through that process. I mean, it's a lot of mental energy spent on things that may never come to pass. And so you can walk yourself through, you know, oh, well, this happens and I got to deal with this problem. Okay, but deal with this happens and this problem happens. And at the end of the day, you're like, well, I've just thought of 20 different scenarios about me going down the street to get coffee. Not a single one of them happened.
Right.
You know, and you're putting yourself through these mental hula hoop jumps kind of thing that makes it much more difficult.
I think here he's also talking about like say maybe standing up to a bully or maybe defending yourself, or, you know, because it refers to a coward. You know, I think men in general may think of themselves as a coward for not doing something. I was in the martial arts for over a decade, and every Friday was sparring. That's a gentle word for we're going to fight each other every Friday, basically.
Fight night.
Fight night. And so as I progressed up my belts, I became a black belt like around age maybe 10, 11 years old. I started very early. And it wasn't one of those belt farms where, oh, little Billy, you're going to move you. No, I had a hardcore Japanese sensei that you moved up when you earned it. And so by the time I was maybe 12 or 13, I was already in the adult class. And so when fight night came around, it was not pretend fighting. We didn't wear pads.
Oh, goodness.
We wore our gi, our uniform. And so, if you dreaded that, you're going to hate every Friday.
Right.
And so that's what he talks about that coward dies 1,000 times before his death. And on the other end of the spectrum, I was watching the Andy Griffith Show, and Andy's talking to Opie about rarely does a punch in the nose last more than a couple of minutes, but the feeling of being bullied or not standing up for yourself will last a lot longer. Same principle. So did you know the definition of courage? The ability to do something that frightens one, the strength in the face of pain or grief. And specific phobias begin during childhood and can persist all throughout one's life. If Charlie Brown taught us anything, there's one to be had.
Yeah, well, I love the courage definition, because it's not saying like they're not scared or there is no pain, right? It's in standing up in the presence of fear, pain, and grief.
Sure.
Right? I mean, every superhero story, fantasy novel of a hero talks about that, right? Like that moment of the young ward realizing that, well, of course their mentor is also scared, but they've realized that they can't show it, or they have to come overcome it in that moment.
Sure.
Cause I mean, I imagine that while we'll talk about here in a minute about all these Bible stories that show courage. I mean, I hesitate to think that like Daniel in that lion's den wasn't just the itsy bits concerned about them having eaten the next day kind of thing.
I fully believe every word of the Bible is inspired. Reading that story about Daniel in the lion's den, or other one stories we can touch on in a second, my brain was like, what? Come on, bro. You in that lion's den?
Mm-hmm.
Even getting closer to the lion's den, you start to get apprehensive. I mean,
right.
Put it this way. If next time you're at the zoo and they said someone left the gate open, we don't quite know where the lion is, that would be enough to make you not want to go to the zoo.
I don't care how much we pay for tickets. I think we're going home now.
Right. So let's jump into and discuss a couple of things about some Bible characters who showed courage in the face of adversity. So obviously, David, and I always love being put in these situations, like they show up looking for King David, the king.
Mm-hmm.
And like, well, here's my sons. He's like, one's missing. Where's that one? Because these are not them. This is not the one. Oh, we have David out in the field. Go get him. David comes in. Okay, you know, I'm paraphrasing now, mm-hmm. obviously. You're going to be the king of Israel. By the way, there's this 9-foot guy, Goliath, that we need you to basically go out there and kill real quick. David's just minding his own business, watching sheep do their thing. Gets called in. Doesn't know if he's in trouble, there's a task in hand, whatever it is. I don't think in his wildest dreams he thought he'd been pulled in from the field to go fight someone that no one in the country wanted to fight.
Right. What I love about that story is it was not even just like, you know, him showing this amazing courage, relying on God to take on this behemoth of a man, but everyone else around him in, you know, that army was terrified of this guy.
Oh,
it was
yeah.
like... That is only a courage that can be imparted because of your faith in God.
Sure. Right?
Like it's a faith-based courage that defies all expectation of everyone else, because everyone else around them looking at David's probably like, what do you think you're going to do?
Right.
All our military guys who've been training for this, and you're just some shepherd coming out, you think you can take on the 9-foot behemoth guy?
Right.
But I think it's just such a great showcasing of, you know, the courage that we can feel when we do rely on God in those situations of like, you know, Lord, I am terrified, I'm afraid, but I'm going to give this to you and your will be done kind of thing.
Sure.
And that's the kind of peace and comfort we can have in those moments. Cause like, I mean, you can worry about a lot of stuff. I mean, we talk about fear in this, the past two podcasts, and we'll talk on it here and then and next week, but there's a lot to be afraid of. There's just you spin a wheel, choose something, you know, and that's today's fear. But it's very difficult to give up those fears, I feel. It's almost like it's a precious thing to us. Like, oh, well, I like fearing this thing. It almost feels like, well, I have a reason not to do that.
Right. And what keeps me safe if I kind of have a fear of something? I was asking someone who had lived in this particular city all of their lives. And we went to eat someplace. And I said, have you been here before? And that person said, you mean come here and die? What do you mean come here and die? That person was just so afraid of where that place was.
Mm.
Now, I knew the area. We were not in any danger. I don't usually go eat at places that are... dangerous, and there's other good food to be had. So,
right.
It's just once we get in our heads, we talk ourselves into some very strange things.
Yeah.
The next one is Daniel,
right?
You know, thrown into the lion's den,
mm-hmm.
right? And so, when he was refusing to bow the knee. I don't know if they told him, like, in the beginning of that process of, okay, if you don't bog your knee, you're going to see the Lions. Mm-hmm. I think that was probably, like, revealed to him later.
Yeah.
But he didn't change his approach to his worshiping of God alone.
Right. They didn't mention the Lions then. He goes, oh, and oh, okay, that's, oh, it's getting real.
I know his Lions.
Yeah, let me bow the knee kind of thing.
Right. And so I think that, and that's, this is everybody, including myself, outward. It is difficult because we put ourselves in that position, or we're in the position of a fearful moment, to think of, all right, 2 years from now, I won't be in this situation. Mm. Things will be different. That is very difficult to have that kind of perspective.
One thing, and obviously, I say as I grow older, I'm still very young.
Whippersnapper?
Yeah, by many of my friends. But I look back on my life and just the brief times that I've had where I've been fearful or, you know, uncertain or anything like that, I look back on those moments now and go, there's plenty more to fear from this point forward. So looking back, I'm like, I don't know what the problem was back then, but it sure is not this kind of thing. So, I mean, I think in the grand scheme of things, it's that muscle that we have to, like, right, work through, right? Like, we have to work that muscle to rely on God in those moments of fear.
Right.
Because it's not going to happen naturally, right? Like, we want to hold on to that fear, use it kind of as a crutch, you know, to not take those jumps and leaps of faith. So it's not going to, you're not going to wake up one morning and go, oh, I don't have fear anymore. That's great.
I could do anything.
Right. I mean, we talked previously on about the patience, right? We pray for patience and God gives us opportunities to stretch that patience. Mm. So, you know, when we pray for courage, oftentimes God gives us opportunities to be courageous and having faith in Him in those moments.
Well, based off of our first two examples, I'm afraid, I'm fearful to pray about overcoming fear. Okay, the next one, you're talking about Joseph. Mm. Again, his brothers, I don't think they beat around the bush how they felt about Joseph. I don't think he was disillusioned of, I don't think my brothers like me very much. He knew that. And so to be sold into slavery, spend some time in prison, I don't think he had a perspective of one day I'm going to be the second most important person in Egypt and kind of run the area.
Yeah.
So it is very difficult for us, our brains, and we're finite. We don't have that ability to see the future. It would scare us to death if we did. Mm-hmm. But it's difficult to even think about, okay, God has got me through things before, and I know He has the best for me in mind. And so I'm just going to trust Him that this is going to pass, and whether it be 2 months, 6 months, or 2 years, 10 years, 40 years in the wilderness, I'm okay with waiting for that. That is a very mature, down the road in your walk kind of perspective.
Yeah.
There are probably people that are 10, 15 years into their walk with Christ would might struggle with that and say, could you go through something for 10 years and still be right as rain, thinking, well, this won't last forever?
Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely falls in that that category of, like, you know, we talk about, you know, we almost call on God like a genie, right, when things get bad, you know, and so we only wait for, like, the really bad things. Like, we've used examples here of, you know, fighting a 9-foot behemoth, fighting the, or staying in the lion's den,
right,
you know, being thrown in jail. But, like, those are, like, massive, like, life-altering things. I mean, there's plenty enough to be afraid of on a you know, a minuscule level.
A Tuesday.
Right, yeah. Like, I don't know if we'll be able to make it through the next month of finances, of food or whatever. And it's, I find when you rely on God, even in the good times, it becomes that much easier to rely on Him in the hard times.
Oh, sure, sure. If you can get into the habit of constantly being connected to the Word of God, listening for His will for your life, praying, being in tune to the Holy Spirit, you're much more likely to be at peace when going through something difficult. Mm-hmm. Opposed to, well, I go to church Christmas and Easter mm-hmm. every year religiously, yep. twice a year. And when, boy, something happens, I don't know where to turn. Well, of course you don't know where to turn because you're not turning to God on a consistent basis. So yeah. Our verse for this area is Psalm 23:4.
So, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
Right on, right on.
And right before we kind of step off into this next segment, I do want to mention one constant throughout those stories that we've just talked about is, in each of those stories, they were praying. Mm. You know, so they were in those moments, but they were praying. You know, it's easy to be like, oh yeah, I want courage, Lord, give me courage. But those men who were devout to God continuously prayed, you know,
right. I mean,
they prayed in the lions, then they prayed before Goliath, they prayed, you know, in the prison cell. So if you want an actionable step, start with prayer.
Best way to be ready is to stay ready. Mm-hmm. And so if you only pray when something is going bad, instead of on a consistent basis, it's going to be very challenging for you to get through that because you have no perspective on what God does on a normal Tuesday for you. So we're going to pause here for our first segment. We'll come back with a hot take on a did you know. So stay tuned. Uncommon would like to thank today's sponsor, Wilson Technology Group. At Wilson Technology Group, we're not just an IT vendor. We're your trusted business partner delivering exceptional support, innovative solutions, and peace of mind. One call, one team, all your tech issues resolved. Uncommon would like to thank today's sponsor, Viking Mergers. Sell your business? Viking Mergers and Acquisitions can help. With 25 plus years of experience and 800 successful sales, we're experts in securing maximum value. Get your free business valuation now at vikingmergers.com or call 866-592-9467. All right, welcome back to segment two. Did you know? This is what you say you probably didn't know.
No, I didn't know.
7.1% of adults have a social anxiety disorder.
I mean, it's interesting that that's a different percentage than the phobia thing, so it's just more fear all around.
I thought that was going to be more like around 30% after speaking with a bunch of people during my life, but and I'm probably one of those. So, all right, so our discussion is how can meditating on stories of biblical courage and God's reassuring words help us grow our own courage when we confront fear?
So I look at this a lot like putting gas in a car. Mm. Like when I fuel up with good fuel, my car goes further. It does better. The engine runs smoother, whatever. So when I spend time in God's word and praying and fellowshipping with other Christians, that is fueling my tank for when those times of fear and panic and stress come about. Mm. 'Cause when I rely on things that are not godly, doom scrolling on TikTok, video games, you know, turning my brain off and staring at the wall to watch the paint dry. You know, those things don't fill that tank nearly as well. And sometimes they can create really bad habits. Like I've mentioned in the past where I've relied way too much on video games to kind of like be that,
escape
from stress and fear and stuff like that. So I find that if I can root myself in the Bible and prayer and that kind of thing, that my response can be much more godly in the face of fear and grief and the like.
I think remembering what God has done for me and trusting that that has not changed. Mm. Nothing that I read in Scripture kind of tells me that God is for me and then all of a sudden changes his mind about me and says, you're on your own, right?
Right.
If you're a believer and you're indwelt with the Holy Spirit, He is actively present in your day-to-day activities. So I think spending time praying and in God's Word and discussing with fellow Christians is a big thing.
Yeah.
And so the next one is discussing the power of community and Scripture and facing fears together. So do you find that you prefer to internalize, like you're fearful of something? Do you share with others, or a combination of both?
That's something I've always kind of struggled with. I tend to internalize it. Like, I mean, most guys lone wolf it quite often. Yeah. I mean, I tend to feel like, you know, it's weakness, or, you know, I don't want to burden them with my fear. They already have X, Y, and Z going on. And so that tends to lead down a dark place of, you know, habitual things of video games, stress, whatever. Mm. I've been trying to get better at that only because I know that, you know, God has called us to be in communities, you know, come together. I mean, He gave us the Holy Spirit, so we are not alone, like sure. you said. But it's not a flip switch kind of deal. It definitely yeah. is a slow march towards that. In our Bible study recently, we were talking as guys in the group, and then we'd taken a prayer request. And one of the guys was like, hey, you know, if you guys ever need me, feel free to call me. If you just want to talk, I can listen, you can give input or whatever. He's like, I want you to understand that that option is for you. Mm. He's like, we tend to kind of gloss over that. We say these platitudes of like, oh, I'll pray for you. Right. Or, you know, that sucks, man. He's like, I want you to know that I'm here for you. And I want us to all kind of feel that way about each other.
Sure.
And so we talk a lot about fear in this podcast, but if you're in a position where you can offer that hand or often offer your ears to someone else, I want you to make sure that they know that. Because sometimes we kind of assume and, you know, assume incorrectly on the other side of things of, you know, oh, well, they say that, but they don't really mean it or anything like that. So sure. if you have that opportunity, or even in your Bible study, you know, make sure you guys talk about, you know, some lifelines you guys can give each other, whether it's yeah. phone calls, text messages, emails, whatever, because, you know, that's what we try to be here for you guys mm-hmm. with in common of, you know, emails, comments on our website or social media. You know, we want to be that encouraging, challenging place for you guys to come with, you know, if it's, you know, just a pair of ears to listen, if you're wanting to vent, if you're wanting, you know, some encouragement, some challenging, you know, or even get plugged into, you know, some other people to talk about things, like, you know, we are here to help with that because, you know, that's what God's put on our hearts here at Uncommon.
Yeah, I think that's what we always talk about, having a mentor that is a little bit older than you, mm-hmm. right? A little more experienced, gone through some things, and one that is below you, a mentee, so that you can provide them with some input. But don't get this twisted that we're not saying you need to be an expert and a problem solver for everybody. Sometimes yeah. it's just a pair of ears. Mm-hmm. You know, when the disciples gathered in the upper room after Jesus was in the grave, they were all scared together.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, you know, one person's like, I'm glad you're all here. Let me calm your nerves mm-hmm. kind of thing. They were all collectively bunched up about what had just happened. So sometimes it is just a matter of talking with a brother in Christ.
Right.
And so our verse for this segment is Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. All of that seems present tense to me.
Mm-hmm.
That it wasn't like, okay, you get one get out of jail card. You get three wishes from the lamp. Don't ask for more wishes. This is a ever-present dwelling of the Holy Spirit that we can need to tap into. And I think guys tend to kind of paint ourselves into a corner of isolation and then struggle.
Yeah.
And then sometimes we wonder why we struggle. It's like, well, you know, don't do that. Jesus did not have to pick 12 disciples to further the kingdom. He did that for their sake. He did that for our benefit as well. Mm-hmm. So, and that leads us to our our challenge. Joining a Bible study, a small group, to help grow your courage in exploring Scripture, I think would be a huge benefit for every guy listening to this podcast. And so when you do that, or if you're already doing that, share your experience. We're always trying to get guys to engage. And after 11 years in this ministry, getting guys to engage is like pulling chicken teeth. And so if you're listening to this, don't just listen and then click on to the next thing. Drop a comment in there. Let us know how you're handling your fear. And you can use hashtag courage in community. And so, any last words, Joshua?
No, I just really would impress the fact that you're not alone. And don't try to paint yourself as a silent sufferer. And we are here to hear from you guys. And there is no shame in reaching out for help. And, you know, you're going to feel like you're burdening other people. Mm. And I want you to know that's not the case.
Yeah.
It's always in our heads. I felt the same way. And then I was trying to think about, well, if my friends came to me, how would I feel? And
sure.
I wouldn't feel that way. And so I want you guys to understand that that is the case, and that we're all here to kind of come alongside each other to kind of help us, you know, stay in God's word and further his kingdom.
Well, with that being said, go be uncommon.